Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, May the 2nd, 2021, lockdown number 3, Sunday service number 2 in lockdown. Trust that you are all doing well and that you will be able to spend some time in worship today. I have 3 in the congregation this morning, folks who don't have easy access to the internet, so they're coming in here to keep me honest this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, your watchful care over us in these days. I thank you for giving us this opportunity to come into your presence and to worship you. We trust that whether we're worshiping here or a little bit later at home through listening to the service, that you would be pleased with that which we offer to you. We thank you for your faithfulness, your provisions for us as a church family, as well as individuals, and we want to give you all the praise and glory today. Thank you for these few moments that we'll have together just now, and pray that you'll minister to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We have some special music this morning for you. 543 in your hymn book if you want to sing along.
Shall gather over on the other shore, and the road.
Very good singing this morning. Let's take our Bibles and we'll turn to John chapter 14 for our scripture reading this morning. John chapter 14. We'll be reading through verse 1 down to 11 this morning. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, John writes by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he pens these words: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." And we'll stop there and ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this morning. The announcements are in the bulletin. And the bulletin will be posted online on the church website shortly, that you might be able to read it through and check out those things that are coming up. Just to let you know, it's a brand new month, so our new missionary of the month are Jacques and Jeanette Brindamore. The Brindamores will be our missionaries of this month, so please keep them in your prayers, in your own daily devotions. Also, just to let you know, I imagine many of you read the email that I sent out on Friday. Maria Lombardi went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday after suffering quite a bit with some dementia and Alzheimer's, and I guess diabetes was all out of whack for her as well, and really struggled. Apparently, I learned on Friday at the funeral service that she really struggled a lot with just pain and discomfort, even in palliative care up to the end. So everybody, the family, were quite relieved that she had gone home to be with the Lord and free from all that suffering. So just wanted to let you know that another one of our members has gone home to be with the Lord. Maria and Kathy started to attend Berean in 1997, shortly after we started, and then became members in February of 1998. Longtime members, not quite charter members, but almost so. And we had obviously enjoyed their fellowship all down through the years. The first time I ever met Maria and Kathy was when I was pastoring at Westminster Hope Baptist Church. They had moved from Dunville to London in 1990, and so they had come for a visit over there and didn't stay. Eventually, they went out to Bethel Baptist in Lambeth, and I guess after we got started here at Berean, they heard about it, so they came to be a part of Berean. So Maria was born in Hungary, and the name of the town is about that long, and I can't even attempt to pronounce the name of the place. Her sister from Dunville, which were up for the funeral on Friday, said that they immigrated to Canada in 1957 and down in the Dunville area. So in her working days, Maria was a home care worker, a personal service worker, I guess, until her own health issues and strength and so on prevented her from being able to do that anymore, so she kind of went into retirement at that point. So we will certainly miss her, but we will see her again. And I can imagine last Tuesday when she took her last breath here on earth and then opened her eyes and she was in heaven with the Savior, I imagine Kathy was around there somewhere as well to greet her coming. So keep the Maria's family in mind, if you wouldn't mind, in prayer. And remember Dave as well, Dave McCracken. This was his mother-in-law. And you understand that Dave has suffered a number of losses in his life in the last few years. Kathy passed away, 3 years ago, I think now. His mom passed away in January. His dad passed away, his dad just passed away this last month. And now his mother-in-law. So he's really sensing the loneliness, so you need to really keep him in your prayers as well. And then one last thing to mention, our mortgage challenge is now complete. We are looking forward to, Dave is looking forward to going to the bank, hopefully, on Thursday. Are they going to be open on Thursday?
They're just going to do it automatically.
Oh, okay. So a phone call. I really wanted to come and be there when you handed that last check over, but I knew I probably couldn't, and you can't either. So anyways, we are the offering is complete. On the 18th, Sunday the 18th, we had $6,900 come in. Last Sunday, the 25th of April, the offering was $3,740, which if you use the numbers in the bulletin is exactly the amount that we needed to be complete. It might be a little bit different by the time you look at interest and all that kind of stuff, but we will be able, Lord willing, should he tarry, to pay all that off on Thursday. I overheard somebody saying at prayer meeting, well, now that the mortgage is going to be done, what's Pastor Bruce going to talk about anymore? So we'll find something else to chat about as we prepare to serve the Lord here. And thank you all for your offerings, your faithfulness, and your sacrifice to give to the Lord through this church. And just going to go back to the Lord in prayer for a few minutes and remember some of these items before him. Once again, Father, we bow in your presence. We are thankful for this avenue that you give to us of prayer, that we can come into your presence and into the throne room anytime, any place, for any reason. We want to give you praise and glory for all that you have done for us in this church, for how you have once again provided for all the needs that we have in the ministry here. And we just rejoice so much in your goodness and how you perfectly give us that which is needful, and we just rejoice so much in that. And I trust that we all here in Berean might sense your goodness to us and the fact that you have been watching over us very carefully and looking out for us these 25 years that we will be celebrating this year. We thank you this morning for Jacques and Jeanette Brindamore serving you over there in Quebec. We know their restrictions are much more stringent than ours, even with curfews and so on. We pray that you are undertaking for them in these days of their ministry as well. I know, having talked to Jacques a little while ago, that they are doing most of their services on Zoom, and so being able to see by video each one that is part of their church, we ask that you would just bless Jacques, provide for their needs, both financially, spiritually, and physically. We trust that they are all doing well, even in the midst of this pandemic and the restrictions and the lockdowns. And so we commit them to your care and keeping and pray that you will just bless in the work and the service there in Quebec. Father, we also want to, at this point, thank you for your good hand upon Maria. We know that she struggled a lot in the last little bit. Even in the palliative care, she apparently just was troubled, and not in any pain, but just troubled with, her mind. And we were sorry to hear that at the funeral service on a Thursday. But at the same time, we are glad and rejoice in you that you have taken her home to thyself and now is free from all of that trouble. And so we thank you. I pray that as we shared a message right from John 14 at the funeral service with the few family members that were there and shared the gospel with them, I pray that that word might reach into their hearts and minds and that they would carefully think on those things and so prepare themselves for entering into eternity such as Maria has. And we just pray, Spirit of God, that you would bring conviction into their hearts, into their minds, and that they would see their need of a Savior, and that they would trust Christ as that Savior. We pray especially for Dave McCracken. He was very close to his mother-in-law, we know, through Kathy. But after Kathy passed away, he did quite a lot for her while she was still in her apartment and driving her here, there, and everywhere. And I know that he senses the loss of Maria probably just as much as the rest of the family. And so with all that he has experienced, even in this year, we just pray that your grace might be a strength for him, that you would encourage his heart, that you would give him peace in his mind as well, and help him, Lord, just to trust you in all of this and to find your grace to be his strength. And thank you, Lord, for our mortgage challenge. Thank you for it all being complete, and we look forward to having that part of the obligations we've had these last 16 years to be done with the mortgage. And we trust, Lord, for wisdom then to know how we might best reorient some of that money to other things as well in the ministry, perhaps some things that we haven't been able to do for quite some time. And so we just thank you for your blessings and your provisions and want to praise you in all of that. I thank you for the opportunity to record the service today. I trust that you will bless it as folks listen a little bit later in the day, and that you'll use this service to be an encouragement to them as well. Thank you for our time today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing together our prayer chorus. So it will be worth it all. It goes like this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Thank you. Good singing this morning. Appreciate that. This morning would be our communion Sunday, because it's the first Sunday of the month. But we aren't here because of the current lockdown, and although we can't remember the Lord Jesus in his death on the cross for our sins together, nor eat the bread or drink the wine, the cup, the fruit of the vine, I trust that you might take some time today to thank the Lord for his sacrifice on the cross on our behalf and rejoice in the salvation that he has provided for you and for me. I thought also that I would preach the next communion message in the series that we started last fall on the I Ams of Christ in the Gospel of John. And just to carry that on even today. Last month, we considered Jesus' statement in John 14, verse 6, and if you have your Bibles open at that passage again, where Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We only got through the first aspect of that statement, I am the way, last time. And this morning, I was hoping to consider the other two, but we're only going to get through the next one, which is I am the truth. And then we'll pick up I am the life next month. Just to remind you of the I ams in the Gospel of John, and do you remember how many of them there are? Seven of them is correct. I'm sure that you recall. So just a reminder, here they are. Number one is, I am the bread of life. That's in John 6, several verses, 35, 48, and 51. Secondly, I am the light of the world, in John chapter 8, verse 12, 9, verse 5, and chapter 12, verse 46. Thirdly, he says, I am the door, John chapter 10. Number four, I am the good shepherd, in John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14. Fifthly, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, 25 and 26. And the sixth one is, I am the way, the truth, and the life, here in John 14, verse 6. And the seventh one is, I am the vine, over in John chapter 15. Just a reminder, one statement that's not usually considered among the seven, but which is a powerful statement on the nature and being of the Lord Jesus Christ, is found in John 8, 58, in conversation with the Pharisees. Remember, Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And we suggested when we looked at that verse a while ago that this confession is kind of like an umbrella that overshadows all the other seven, the usual seven I ams. And I'll remind you again, John 8:58 is a pretty good verse to memorize if you haven't already done it. Before Abraham was, I am. And that, of course, harkens back to Exodus chapter 3, when Moses met the Lord at the burning bush and asked of his name. So these are important confessions as of the Lord Jesus as to his person and to his program, what he is and what he has come to do. And so this morning we're going to take a look at another section in the sixth statement in John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, is what we'll look at this morning, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And as I'm sure you can observe, we have a trio of elements related to the Lord's person. And we emphasize the word is here. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. The fact is that these three things are the very reality of who Jesus Christ is. This is a clear, simple, and yet profound declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no confusion, no hesitation for understanding, no necessity for allegory. This is who Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. The devil has tried to distort and to diminish these three truths about Christ. The world basically rejects and denies these truths, the truths of this confession. The ungodly and foolish men and women of today's societies don't even bother to try and understand these things. They are too far above their capacity to, quote, mind these spiritual realities about our Savior. But we who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord, and God, readily and joyfully acknowledge this truth about him. And we confirm and agree together that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't we? Yes, we do. So this truth, the way, the truth, the life, excels in our thinking about Christ. It puts Christ far above all things that we could conceive of him to be. He is exalted above all things in creation, in heaven and earth. There is no other being like the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I stand amazed at him. And because these are such profound truths, everybody needs to know about the Lord Jesus. We need to tell others about who he is so that they might have opportunity to trust him as their Savior or perhaps correct the errors that they hold about who Jesus really is. So last time we talked about Jesus being the way. That is, he is the direction. He is the roadway. He's the footpath, if you want, to the Father. No one comes to the Father but by me, he said. So we looked at the way last time, and I would encourage you to listen to that message. It's still posted on the church website if you want to remind yourself about what we said concerning that. I was musing on the phrase a little bit more, and what I'm seeing in my mind's eye is that Jesus is the way. He's that roadway that leads to heaven, leads to God. The truth are kind of the boundaries, the curbs, if you want, that stretch along that roadway to keep us on that roadway. The truth, anything, if you jump over the hedge, you're in the wrong side of the path. And the truth is kind of the curbs or the guards, the barriers to keep us on the path. And of course, the life means that we are living and we are moving towards the eternal life that he has provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And just to have that image in mind of how all three things kind of connect, I think is interesting to have. So we've looked at the way. There are two more things, and this morning we want to talk about him being the truth. And as we noted before, when we started this section in John 14, each of those three things, way, truth, and life, each of them contain the definite article. The article is even there in the Greek text, as well as in our English translations in our Bibles. So we can say that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. The article, the, indicates distinctiveness, a particularity, a specified sense. In other words, Jesus is the way and there is no other. He is the truth and there is no other. He is the life and there is no other. No other way, no other truth, no other life that will lead us to the Father, only Jesus. His person, his work, his message, his ministry. We know this. And if you, as believers, as Christians, others need to know it too. So let's consider Jesus the truth. What is truth? This was the question that Pilate asked Jesus when he was interrogating him back in John, or ahead in John 18, verse 37 to 38. We read these words, Pilate therefore said unto him, to Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault at all in this man. He asked the question, but it doesn't appear he waited around for an answer. He just asked the question and then went out and said to the Jews, I don't find any fault in this man. But I'm sure that if the opportunity arose for Jesus to give an answer, he could have answered, I'm sure, this way. He probably would have pointed out the truth to say, I am the truth. You want to know what truth is? It is in, right there, the person of the Lord Jesus. And perhaps some other references in the scriptures can confirm for us this wonderful truth. In John 1, verse 14. Remember John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, we read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And what was it that they beheld? He was full of grace and truth. Right? And when you come down to verse 17 of John 1, John summarizes for us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we would have completely agreed with the Lord Jesus if he could have given that answer to Pilate by saying, I am the truth. He is God, come in the flesh, full of grace and grace and truth have come by him. And all of that is sourced and founded upon the fact that Jesus himself is the truth. I went looking for some definitions of the word truth. Because everybody has an opinion about what truth is, right? So I went to a whole bunch of dictionaries, and they were just all convoluted. They were long. There were all kinds of things that there was no succinct answer. For example, in dictionary.com, they have this. Number one, it's the true or actual state of a matter. That sounds pretty good. Number two, conformity with fact or reality, verity. That's pretty good too. Number three, a verified or indisputable fact, proposition, principle, or the like. Number five, an obvious or accepted fact, a truism or a platitude, and in brackets, often initial capital letters, that is, capital T, to truth, means it's an ideal or fundamental reality apart from and transcending perceived experience. Are you getting tired yet? Number six, they had truth is agreement with a standard or original. Seven, it means accuracy as of position or adjustment. Eight, honesty, sincerity, and truthfulness. And lastly, number nine, an archaic, meaning fidelity or constancy. So I read all of that and I just went, wow, that's a lot of words for trying to define what truth is. We take a look at the world around us today. We hear lots about political correctness, which it really isn't interested the truth at all. They're only in politically correct people are only interested in not hurting someone's feelings. And so they're not interested in saying anything about truth. Truth might be hurtful, don't you know? And so let's fudge or not give them that which is going to hurt. We're told also, and we've been told this for many years, that truth is relative. Depends on your circumstance, depends on what's going on in your world, depends upon where your mind is at that point in time. We hear the phrase, what might be true for you may not be true for everybody. Well, that's kind of an innocuous understanding of what truth is. People grind against the truth, it seems to me, by telling us that there is no absolute truth. One of the reasons why many people reject the scriptures is because we have absolute truth here. It declares the truth, and they don't like the truth that the Bible talks about, and so they confine this to myth and legend and all that kind of stuff. And I think, why are people so afraid of the truth? Why are they so afraid of the truth? I mean, you can't say some things that are true, according to the scriptures, in the world today. Should probably cover the microphone, but you could get in trouble if you speak against Muslims, if you speak against homosexuality, if you speak against same-sex marriage, or even abortion. You could get yourself in great trouble because that's offensive to some people. They don't want to hear those things. Why are people so afraid of the truth? May I suggest that perhaps it's because They are lost in sin and are in the thralls of the devil, who is, as the scriptures call him, the father of lies. And we know the situation he brought about back in Genesis chapter 3, the beginning of creation, with Adam and Eve, and lied to them that if they took and ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would be like God. Well, maybe that wasn't so far off the truth, but he did say that you won't die if you eat that, which were lies and deception that caused them to eat. So people, the bulk of the world today, lost in sin, in the thralls of the devil, who is the father of lies. The scripture calls him the prince of the power of the air as well. His ministers are false teachers, where the devil himself is seen as an angel of light, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians. And people, it seems to me, want to believe the lies of the devil, because then they're not accountable for anything. They're not coming under quote unquote truth. They can do whatever they please and know that there's, in their own minds, that there won't be any accountability. And sometime in the future, we believe very soon, after the church is raptured, the Antichrist will be revealed, who will be the representative for the devil here on earth during the tribulation period, and there will be a lie told, whatever it concerns, whether the disappearance of so many people, probably millions of people around the globe, some kind of lie will be told. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 2:12, it's called the lie. People will believe the lie to the destruction of their own soul. They love to have it that way. Jesus, here's a couple of verses. John 8:44, and Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. I'm sure they love to hear this, but it's the truth. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. For he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And most of our world is under the influence of the devil, the father of lies. In Romans 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." And how is that expressed? "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, talk about truth being relative. They hold that which is evil, wicked, and wrong to be true. I think it was Isaiah in a verse in his gospel that said, woe to the day when they call right, wrong, and good, evil. We're in that day, it seems to me, even here in Canada right now. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then down in verse 25 of Romans 1, as Paul is talking about God giving men over to a reprobate mind, that kind of thing, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Can you imagine? Well, we can, because we see evidence of it all around us and down through history. They've changed the truth of God into a lie, following the father of lies. And then with the ultimate lie that is going to be told during the tribulation period, 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says that once the Antichrist is revealed and he kind of brings world power into play, it says that they all, those who will be left behind, they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Right? So they believe the lie, and they are going to be damned for eternity. They will indeed perish at some point in time. So we acknowledge that truth is very important, right? It's essential to our spiritual and physical well-being, as well as to the well-being of our society as well. And it's no wonder that we have so many problems in society, in the world society, is because we have jettisoned the truth, particularly the truth of God's Word and the Lord Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 17:17? He said, "Sanctify them," speaking of his disciples, and I believe including us as well, those who have not seen him but still believe in him. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. So here's an interesting scenario. In John 1:1, we read that the word is God, right? And that the Word became flesh, and that the Word is Jesus Christ. He is God come in the flesh, but he's called in John 1:1 the Word. And so Jesus Christ is the truth. And then he also, in John 17, talked about giving his disciples all the words that God had given to him, to them. And that word is the truth, right? Thy word is truth. So here you have the person of Christ, who is the truth. And you have the word of God, the scriptures, our Bibles, which is the truth as well. Christ is the living word in physical form. And the Bible is the living word in written form. And each is exactly the same in the truth that they communicate, right? So when we look on Jesus, when we listen to him, we know we're going to find exactly the same things here in our scriptures. So while we can't see him with our physical eyes right now, we have his word that we will, by which we know the truth that he was the person of. So he is the truth. There is no lie, there's no darkness, there's no turning in him. What he said always was what was right and always was the truth. And we need to believe him. We must believe him. We can believe what he says, and we dare not diminish, nor delete, nor add to any of the things that he has said in his word. There is destruction awaiting those who mess with the word of God. This is truth, and this word will be that which it will be brought up for against the peoples of the world to hold them to account to the truth. As it relates to us, interestingly, in John 4:24, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and in their conversation, Jesus said to her, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth," right? So when we gather to worship the Lord, or at any time we want to worship the Lord, we must worship him in accordance to the word of God, because this is the truth. If our worship veers away from anything that Christ has said in his word, it's not true worship. And yet God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's kind of why we hang on the word so tenaciously here at Berean. That's why we call ourselves Bereans, because the word is so important. We want to search it daily, making sure that what we hear is the truth. So just remind yourself that when we worship him, we are to worship in spirit and truth. In fact, even the Holy Spirit himself is called the Spirit of Truth. In John 15:26, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So the witness of the Spirit is to the truth, to the Lord Jesus, who is the truth, and you can just see how the whole thing holds together, can't you? And so when Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he's speaking about the ultimate connection, if you want, of the truth with all of our existence, all of our being, all of our living. Believe the truth that Jesus is the truth. He will not lead us astray. He can be trusted. He deserves our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving. And so let's be good Bereans. Let's be in the Word. And as I used to say, or have said, keep your nose in the book, because this is where the truth is. Our eyes on Christ, our nose in the book. That will assure us of keeping true the truth. The word truth is found many times in the scriptures, over, I think, if I remember correctly, having looked it up, over 700 times. And even the word true is used many, many times as well. And so as we seek to serve the Lord, to worship Him in truth and to serve Him, let's be sure that we are letting other people around us know about the truth of Christ, the truth that He is, and the truth that comes from His Word, that they might believe the truth and heed it and trust Christ as their Savior as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to dig a little more into Jesus' statement concerning being the truth this morning. I trust that we have understood it properly and recognize and see that He embodies the whole truth in His person, in His being, in ministry. That truth is reflected in the Word of God, which is the truth as well. And we thank You for sending Your Son to be our Savior and giving us that truth. We thank You for the Word of God, for inspiring those authors and penmen to put it down in writing so that we might even have it today in our own hands, in our own language. And we thank You. Help us to abide by the truth. Father, help us to live in the truth of what You have given to us concerning our own selves, our souls, our sin, the Savior, how we can be saved from our sins through faith and trust in Christ, and the hope that we have of being in Thy very presence for eternity, which is true, and help us to abide in all of that and to embrace it and to hold on to it and to keep it and then to pass it on to others. Help us to be good witnesses to the Lord Jesus in these days, in which truth is so much needed. And help us not to be afraid of telling the truth. We can do it graciously and sincerely, of course, but help us not to soften down or water down any of the truths that You have in Your Word, but rather to give them completely as You have given them to us. Bless Your Word to our hearts, plant it deeply into our hearts and minds, and help us to carefully think on those things, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved, that's it for today. Let me give you a benediction in place of a final hymn. From 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Hope you have a nice rest of the day. And I look forward to when we can be back together again and to see you face to face once again. In the meantime, be well and stay safe. We are dismissed.